Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. And even though we just had an election, it's now or never. Boy, could I laugh in so many different cases, and I could say I told you so in other cases, and I think I will. But before we get into that, let me just remind you that we just covered the Assumption Act. We're not covering. We had already covered the Assumption Act. And now what we're getting into are the cod fishery bounties. So the reason why this is all important, so I'll just kind of give you the high-level view of what we have for our curriculum. And so when we covered the ratification debates, it was perfect timing this year. We went from the ratification debates actually into the Constitution. So it would be great to have the Constitution then go ratification debates because, bottom line, that's what they went through. But it's good to have them abutted one way or the other. Now we've kind of created, and we built our way up throughout the year. We kind of help prepare for, you know, what it took for America to get to that point of that convention, the ratification, the Constitution itself. Now what we're doing is we're going through government actions. There were lots of little different government actions. There were little plays like Hamilton trying to put a sales tax on horses and those types of things. But what we want to do is we want to help you understand, you know, how there were certain little events that were occurring that were putting pressures or essentially violating the Constitution. Now, the Assumption Act, even though the federal government had the ability to, you know, have the good faith and credit of the United States and so forth, it didn't have the ability to assume the debt of other states because it was a direct violation of the Uniformity Clause and so forth. The fact of the matter is that was the first whack that the Constitution took. If in comparison today, in contrasting that little whack compared to the beating that the Constitution is getting now, I mean, it pales in comparison. And the framers knew that over time that it would, you know, be under assault. But there's no way they could fathom the level of evil of assault that it's taking today. The only one that really knew clearly what we would be facing today is our Creator, the divine hand of providence. This is why He made this document and He empowered the people and He created these checks and balances the way He did to allow us at any point in time, folks. It's now or never, but we have the opportunity to wake up and seize control of this stagecoach, seize control of this ship, whatever vessel you want to put yourself into, I don't care. You use your own metaphor, but you have the ability to seize control. And so today is the day you begin. Today is the day we begin in committing and actually creating a movement of a campaign on the Constitution. There is no reason why we can't have an effect on not only our local politics, but we can have an effect on national politics if this actually grows. So we're going to get into those details once we cover some of these key issues that I think historically are really important, but we will be covering these. But the biggest thing you have to understand of how to exercise a campaign on the Constitution is using your First Amendment right of petition, demanding your right to petition government for the redress of grievances. Now, what we want to do is we want to get other people to join you. If they can't join you in spirit, they can at least join you on paper by signing these petitions. These are not ballot petitions. These are not, you know, measures or anything like that. So there are no let's just call them restrictions. There are no constraints on these petitions. These petitions can live for 10 years, just like Martin Luther's petitions and his theses that he put up on the chapel door. Those lived until the German states moved completely away from the Catholic Church. Now, one of the things, and it kind of came up today in a conversation, that I've said before that the education, we can't educate our way out of this, but we can lead in an educational forum our way out of this. Because when we start actually changing the local, let's call them influencers, your local leaders, people that, you know, people look to, people that, you know, wow, that person's taking action, and they listen, and they, I don't want to say they follow, but because the majority of all the people follow the club. They follow the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. That's how we just saw it in voting. There were a lot more people that voted, you know, based on party than they did their conscience. And that's sad. That's an indictment. But the fact of the matter is that we need to use the First Amendment petitions in getting people to understand it's not about the party. It is about the Constitution. Because we're going to prove to you over the course of the next 2 years, if you actually are willing to do this, you're actually going to prove to everybody else that these tyrants and your county commissioners, supervisors, whatever, if they're not willing to support the Constitution, they're tyrants and they need to be replaced. And so we need to start taking them to task. We need to start helping you understand a Republican form of government, that you have representatives and that they're to support the Constitution. And when you ask them to support you and your personal agenda, you're only asking them to violate their oath of office. Why not get them to actually support all of us by supporting their oath of office, by supporting the Constitution? Because when the Constitution is being supported, your rights and liberties are safe. They're being preserved. They're being restored as we get government to become more and more compliant and undoing all unconstitutional laws and so forth. So anyway, after the cod fishery bounties, we'll probably finish these up today. We're going to get into Madison's essay on property, and we're going to get into the Whiskey Rebellion. We're going to get into probably, well, actually, you know, we covered this, the 11th Amendment, so I'll just kind of brush over that really quick as we go into the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. Now, there's a lot of other things that we really need to cover that we want to cover. We'll probably take these up maybe later on after the beginning of the year. And I say that because many of these things we've kind of touched on, and I cover these things all the time. I point to the Missouri Compromise, Enabling Acts, Monroe Doctrine, and so forth. I touch on these kind of regularly, but I don't go into the details. So that's why you kind of want to pay attention and get these, I'll just say, these fundamental ideas, principles, things that the government did, or tragedies and violations that the government did, so that we can place full context to this. So when we look at the election, so let me just turn back onto the election. One of the things I told you so, I told you that Liz Cheney was not going to get elected. She was bumped out. We all knew that. And that Harriet Hagman, whoever the primary winner, you know, was going to win that election. That's how most all elections go, and that's how they fall. If it is a predominantly red state, predominantly red county, what have you, whoever is the, I'll call them the shill for the party, maybe they're not shills, but whoever is representing that color is the one that gets elected. The problem is that we keep the colors red and white. We need to start injecting and thinking in parchment. I believe that when we start thinking in parchment, that means we're thinking on the Constitution, and that the party or those representatives that we're voting for, the individual party, not the political party, that the individual is actually cognizant and aware of their legally and moral obligations that they have in supporting the Constitution. So Hagman won. And it sent, you know, as a matter of fact, it's kind of funny that Liz Cheney, as she poked her nose into other states' elections like Arizona and I think Ohio, I found it ironic that she actually helped these people that she was trying to hurt. That's what happens when you actually are recognized and labeled as a turncoat. This, my friends, is a hallmark moment in Liz Cheney's political career, because she can never go back. She'll never be able to become a champion of what, and I'll just say the Constitution, because she never was a champion, but she'll never be able to go back as a champion for those people who identify as Republicans. Republicans have recognized her. It's like the John McCain. The problem is she lived in a state that didn't have a political apparatus that allowed the corruption that John McCain was able to run, whether it was racketeering or what have you. And I know John McCain actually ran head-to-head and was basically at odds with the Arizona Republican Party. I know they censored him. They tried to do, they tried to get him out of office. So John McCain somehow had some type of leverage within the state. And I'm here to tell you folks that that leverage was not within the conservatives and the Republicans. It was a cooperation between the Republican and Democratic operatives that helped John McCain stay in office to do all the damage that that traitor did. Anyway, we got a break. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so the most important race in the nation, and even though I set my expectations because I knew that there's just no way we're going to... Paul Venable had the ability to really become a third party, and he had the... I believe the doors were open, but there were lots of little problems. And one of the biggest problems is funding and overall support. Now, here, the other issue that we have is this, I want to call it corruption, but the people, you could never convince America that the parties are corrupt. But let me kind of give you a little history regarding James Madison and his career in politics. politics at the time required that a politician buy votes, or actually buy alcohol and drinks for the voters. And James Madison refused to do so. He felt it was immoral. It was wrong. It was just, you know, against his fundamental core principles of doing something like that. And so his first political race that he jumped into, he lost, and he lost miserably. And it really weighed on him with this concept that he had to go down this path of compromising his principles. And if I remember correctly, I believe it was Thomas Jefferson who was kind of just coming into his life, kind of nudged him and says, if you're not going to do it, you're never going to get into office, and we need you in office. You have to compromise your principles. Now, this is before they had parties. Now, we all know that the parties are the problem. I just went through a good little three-day history of showing you how the Uniparty has formed in America and has seized full control. The problem is that the electorate, there's very few people that recognize the parties as the problem. And so how is it that we can educate people as parties are the problem? Well, I'm here to tell you that in a way you have to actually get in and either take over or decimate the party. So how do you decimate a party? By going head-to-head with it and against the voters without alienating all those people. You have to prove, this is the same thing that Martin Luther had to do. This is almost similar to what Moses had to do with the children of Israel, getting them to, you know, be ready to go into the promised land, or getting them to, you know, get a break away from the Catholic Church. We're kind of looking, breaking away from the existing culture that we have, like in Martin Luther's case, the Catholic Church, breaking away from the Egyptian culture that basically was ensconced in Israel. Now, there were lots of things and lots of reasons why, you know, they had to go 40 years of, you know, and a generation had to pass. But the fact of the matter is that it requires a paradigm shift of the people to move the people. So how do you do this? Well, the only way you can do it is you can actually prove, and I hate to tell you this, but doing this as a third party, you really have to prove, and you have to, you know, be able to decimate both parties. And that is just, I don't want to say it's a fool's errand, and it's great for the most principled person to succeed in doing that. But the reality is you have to swallow your pride, and you have to enter the race as one of those parties. Now, what some people have to do is they have to hold their nose, you know, in some of the blue states where we have some conservative people, and they actually run as Democrats, and they call themselves blue-collar Democrats or what have you. But that's if you want to have an impact and you want to get into politics, then and do good things, because that's what you really want to do, then you kind of have to dive into the pool of the prevailing party. You have to. And so this is why when I talk about creating your movement on the Constitution, you have to get the parties involved in your county. And what you want to do is you want to maintain, you don't have to be sterile, but you want to maintain some little bit of separation between your movement on the First Amendment petitions and holding your public servants accountable to a direct association to the party. However, if you happen to be in a county that is not a hardcore dark red constitutional county, then you're going to have a harder time. The more blue or more purple your county is, then the harder time, because you have, what that means is you're living in a county where there is a greater polarization between the two parties, which means that everybody has this paradigm, and prove me if I'm wrong, a vote for, you know, a third party is a vote for the other party. That's how people look at it. And that's how they will perceive it. So when we look at all of those votes, the fact that whoever voted for Venable, and Missouri is not a dark red state. It's a red state, but it's not dark red. And it is turning blue. And it's turning blue because of the rhinos. And it's just like Texas. Texas is turning blue. Arizona's turned blue. It's kind of turned a little red. And it looks like it may turn red some more. But my point is that all of these states that have this polarization going on, I'll just say it's a fool's errand, or it's almost an impossible hurdle to overcome to obtain office in a third party. You know, that's why you'll always see the 1, 2, maybe 5, 10%. And we were hoping Paul was going to get 5%, hopefully, maybe even 10. We were hoping that. But no, and as a matter of fact, what Schmidt, or whatever his name is, the attorney general who violated the Constitution, who shouldn't be in office at all, what he did was he didn't even engage in any counter politics. I want you to understand the ramifications of what he did. What he did was he closed the ranks to ensure that no third party could have a chance getting a foothold. This was a very brilliant move on his part. Because why? Because he did no debates with anybody. He basically went around and tried to prove that he was, you know, doing everybody's bidding, and it was a good guy making these lawsuits and so forth. And what he did was he allowed the gap between him and the Democrat to become tight enough to hold and lock people into their polarized position, because he knew that based on the current count of people on the one side or on the other, that he would have a stronger showing of those people on his side or on the red side, or the Republicans. So when you look at that, you'll look and see, well, you know, because why is it that the third party's hardly got any votes, the Libertarian and Paul together? I don't think the two of them may have came up with possibly 2% or just better than that. What he did was he basically contained the other parties, because I honestly think, and this is if you're a part of the primary party, you don't want to give any room for any competitor to come into the races. And probably nobody understands this better than Paul Venable when he sees how the two parties absolutely collude in controlling who has what parts of the state, what parts of the counties, cities, and so forth. We actually know for a fact that the Democrats will deliberately run bad candidates, and the Republicans do the same thing. Or if there's a good, strong Republican that can unseat a Democrat, the Republicans will put in a strong candidate and then tank so that the Democrats maintain their seats. It is that way in Missouri. It's that way in most of these states that are polarized. It ain't that way in Wyoming. And as a matter of fact, I'd need to go to the results. But if I went to, you know, the election results of, let me see here. Yeah, and I've got it right here. Harriet Hagman got 68%, and the Constitution Party candidate got 2.5%. And I'm going to say that was probably the Libertarian candidate that got about 2.5. The Constitution Party candidate was the lowest in the percentages. And to be honest, I actually reached out to Marissa and tried to help her, you know, swing her focus really on the Constitution and how to do that to basically eliminate the, you know, I would say the conservative argument, or push the conservative argument, because the libertarian wasn't going to do that. And Harriet Hagelin wasn't going to do that. But you'll see that there was a much higher output in Wyoming, because Wyoming has such a dominance of conservatives that they don't have to, you know, count on polarization and collusion to win their offices and maintain their seats. So just giving you the reality of the elections and the political process. So what are you going to do about it? Now that you know that, and now that I've given you the history, I've given you the proof, when you start really looking at the analysis, the parties really are the problem. So how do you defeat the parties? Well, let me close on this as soon as we come back from these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so when we look at what it takes, because bottom line, folks, the only way we're going to take America back away from the globalists, because the globalists control our parties, and the globalists are dividing us, and the globalists are actually putting us into a position where they can seize full control, get rid of our Constitution, and suck us in. Now, Jonah Goldberg makes a point that they can't do it too heavy-handed. They have to do it with the slow ratcheting and getting people. And folks, we're there. Look at how many people are embracing and calling and demanding for communism and a destruction of our country and our government. Well, not our government, because our government does not represent our Constitution anymore. So they want to see our government more empowered. They want to see it continue to grow well beyond the confinements of the Constitution. I mean, it's already there. When I say it's now or never, it really is. It's now or never, folks. I mean, prove me wrong. We've just had the luxury of, you know, not being pushed off of the ledge. The day the states concede and surrender the Constitution, because the federal government says, based on expediencies and this type of emergency, we have to put the Constitution aside. We can no longer operate or live within the confines of this Constitution. We have to fundamentally change everything we do, our currency, everything, to abide by our new, those who control us. That's how it'll happen. And so if you want, and I, so in this conversation today with the gentleman in Virginia, and I really endear myself with these people that really care. And it's awesome to hear people that care so much that, you know, they know what's wrong or they're learning what's wrong. They're learning what to do and so forth. And it's great. I mean, these people that I deal with absolutely buoy me and help me maintain, you know, a positive perspective. Because I'm telling you, folks, you know, as it was pointed out in my second book, I basically prayed. I asked everybody to pray for our conservative entertainers that at least one would rise up. I totally forgot I even said that. As a matter of fact, those books that I wrote years ago, I when I read my own books, when somebody cuts, you know, here, what do you think of this? Oh, that's pretty good work. I don't even recognize it as mine. Somebody will cut and paste something of an article that I had written. As a matter of fact, that just recently happened. I didn't even recognize it as mine. And so I go, wow, that's really good. I love that. You know, I want to copy that. Well, oh, shoot, I actually said that. That was me. And I'm not trying to flatter myself. And what I'm really trying to do is I'm really trying to help you understand that how good it feels to see and help people, you know, obtain their full potential. I mean, I'm only doing this so that America can obtain its full potential. I don't consider myself the only and sole source. As a matter of fact, everybody that comes to the table, they bring something to the table. And that's how I look at it. I look at, you know, and I'm the guy that points out all sorts of things on the table that nobody even knows is there. It's not like I've got this microscope. It's not like these things are hiding. They just don't recognize or realize. You know, it's kind of like this whole concept of 30,000 people, you know, obtaining and being able to have their own representative under this Constitution. Well, that's been completely smeared under 750,000. I mean, Congress has violated the Constitution to control how many people they will represent when the Constitution clearly states 30,000 people get one. And that's how it's supposed to be. And so these are just little things that, you know, are all on the table. But unless we talk about the whole table, and this is what the big mistake of conservative groups and myopic people, there's this huge table that they come up to that they want to talk about an issue, and they're only talking about this little thing on the table in the magnitude of the size of the table and the problems. That's how far off we are. So the only way we're going to actually, you know, take this new direction, and the only way we're going to actually become successful in taking back our Constitution and getting government back into the framework of the Constitution is by changing the culture of the people. And we can't do this statewide from one person. We have to focus at one county and start proliferating across the other counties. We actually have to start working with those who are constitutional. I'm trying to work within my county. I'm asking everybody to try to work. I can only do so much work, and I found a few people that are willing to put their names out there and get these people to create these campaigns on the Constitution. So all this being said, folks, what I want you to realize is that we actually have to use Trojan horses. We have to use strategies, or better yet, stratagems, where we basically deceive those who are, you know, trying and have the grasp over the people. You know, everybody believes the mainstream media. Look at how many people still believe mainstream media and still believe the education system and all of these deluders, all of these deceitful people that are leading us down into the abyss of compulsion and slavery. And so when we look at what it takes, we actually have to start using some of these tactics. So, folks, I'm going to be telling anybody that's a constitutionalist, you need to run. If you're in, you know, a polarized state where there's enough Democrats and enough Republicans to create polarization, then you need to put your hat into the ring as a Republican. And you need to win your local seats. You need to win your local races. And then when you're all done, this is how you do it. Once you win your election, then you start creating a public rift with the party at the state level, at the county. I mean, if your county is a good bunch of people, then you create the rift at the state, because I'm going to tell you that almost every state except for Wyoming, every state at the state level is a part of the establishment and they're all corrupt. There may be some good people. I don't know. I just hate to use a blanket like that. You know, this blanket statement, they're all corrupt. But bottom line, you can easily create a rift by basically demanding, you know, certain things for the Constitution to be done and asking the party to support you on those things, and then proving to the people that you're doing this in behest or against their wishes, that we're actually pushing forward in taking back things and undoing things against their wishes. And this is how we expose the party. And at that point in time, when we create enough of a, I'll just say enough drama, then as a candidate, you basically say, I'm disaffiliating myself with the Republican Party. Look at what Gabby, whatever her name is, how she just left the Democratic Party and how that kind of had a little bit of an effect. It has even a bigger effect when Republicans or people that ran on the Republican ticket actually walk away from the Republican Party and say, I am now affiliating myself with the Constitution Party, with the Independent American Party. Whatever party aligns you closer to the Constitution. Remember, I told you, we don't have a party up there at the top of the mountain creating a fortress for the Constitution yet. We don't have one. The Independent American Party, they've got some great positions and so forth, but they're not up there. Their platform doesn't speak to and solely focus on the Constitution. Their platform is just like everybody else's platform. Same thing with the Constitution Party. I'm the outsider trying to create the pressure for everybody to do the right thing. And so I understand that you have to be inside to really invoke change. But sometimes when somebody's standing outside and they're speaking the truth, they can bring down those walls. Mr. Gorbachev, take down this wall. And that wall comes down. So in a way, Ronald Reagan did some really good things as a leader in the world. But in other ways, as the president of the United States, he didn't undo unconstitutional government. He wasn't ready. He wasn't prepared to do that. And this is what America deserves. I've asked you to think about this. I believe America needs a president that is willing to dismantle the unconstitutional government that we have and restore America back within the framework of our constitutions at the federal and state level and get them all aligned and in harmony. That's the kind of president America needs. But right now, because everybody's grasped and swimming at their own end of the pool because of our polarization and the two-pool party, or the two-party pool, I should say, one side's Republican, the other side's Democrat. Well, folks, then that's what we get. And so when we come back, we will try to, I'll try to wrap all of this up so that we can get right back into the cod fishery boundaries, because that's really what I wanted to cover today. But I'm hoping this is making sense. I'm hoping you're starting to realize that today the campaign begins. Your campaign on the Constitution has to begin today. We'll be right back.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument
of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic. I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
Set the record straight. Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so just so you understand the important races, so go look at who won your county race. Go look at who won your state legislative and your state senator races. Many of these races, by the way, go look at them. Many of them, out of my state legislative races, only one was contested. The other two, the senator and another representative, was not contested. In other words, we didn't have enough challengers. And I tell you, I live in a dark red legislative district. Well, it's predominantly red, but it's polarized enough to where the establishment has full control over. It's almost like they're God makers. It's almost like they have the ability to kill somebody that runs up against them when they start labeling them as a radical. We've seen this with sheriffs running on the Constitution. Oh, our Republican Party, oh, they're too radical because they're talking about the Constitution, and I know what that means. What? We actually have had leadership like that right here in a dark red county actually stand up in Republican meetings and say those things. And I'm telling you, folks, it was a huge wake-up. And I'm sharing this with you because the following year when they did the reorg, after this election, when they did the reorganization, what we did was we got lots of people to actually get into the party and based on constitutional standings. In other words, we sought out constitutionalists who looked at the party as a problem, that they weren't constitutional enough, and we got them into the precincts. And by doing so, we were able to actually oust all of the establishment players except for one. He happened to be a kingpin, and he still had, but he didn't have necessarily a real leadership position, but he still prevailed. But the county itself was able to shift away from and actually started looking and supporting, I will just say, more constitutional. Now our prosecutor, we no longer have our Democrat prosecutor in a dark red county. There's a lot of other seats and positions we need to start cleaning up, but it's good to see that that's how you can do it. There's been plenty of evidence that proves that if you get involved, But you've got to do more than just get into that party. You have to start teaching people. You have to start embracing the First Amendment petition for the redress of grievances, petitioning your government, petitioning your county players, and calling them out. And all you've got to do is, you're not even calling them out. You don't even have to make them feel bad. It is their job to go up to the state house and make your state legislators feel bad for not protecting your state from an invasion and demanding Congress do their job. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't make them the bad guy. Actually, you help them be the good guy. The more people you get to go to your county commissioners, the better off their justification is to go and do good things. And they can go into the state capitol and say, look, I've got thousands of people haranguing me to actually get you to do your job. Why am I here? Why can't you do your job? And actually get, that's how we get things done. But we have to work succinctly on the Constitution. We got to abandon these stupid little agendas. You got a problem with education? We get a petition. Let's do the First Amendment petition, getting government out of the classroom, period. Obliterating the federal government's involvement in education would be the best thing. That's how they're getting all this other crap into our classrooms right now. So why wouldn't you do this instead of going and saying, we don't like you or the curriculum? The government's the problem. They're the ones feeding the curriculum. They're the ones feeding all of this agenda. I'm telling you, and nobody can prove me wrong, that our own federal government is committing warfare against the citizens of this United States. And I'll just use education as this one key point. We pay taxes. We actually extra subsidize our education that is teaching our children. Our children in this society, in this nation, their foremost responsibility as citizens is to support the Constitution. And they're not teaching these kids one reverence or anything about the Constitution. And they're actually teaching kids to do everything they can to actually protest against the Constitution and support ideas that are antithetical to this Constitution. In other words, our education system is programming and basically indoctrinating our kids to become Bolsheviks, to revolt against our own Constitution. How is our government capable of doing this under our very noses? Because we aren't holding them to the Constitution. You can actually go out and complain about, you know, sexual dysphoria or critical race theory. It doesn't matter. Common Core, it don't matter. Those are just complaints. But if you have the legal standing and the legal argument and prove that they have no constitutional enumerated power, they have no jurisdiction, no authority to be involved in education, that gets them out of the game. Why wouldn't you use the argument? Why wouldn't you use the tool, the weapon that actually conquers them? And the weapon, I've been telling this people for years, the weapon of choice is the Constitution. Our defense of choice is the Constitution. It will win all of our battles and it'll defend us against their onslaughts. Are you getting it? Do you understand, as I started this show off, that only our Creator knew what we were going through and how He gave us everything to defend ourselves and to protect ourselves? So, let me just end it there, because I know I've harped and I know I've ranted and I've raved, and I apologize if I may have said something wrong, but I know I probably haven't. As a matter of fact, I have a firm and strong conviction that everything I said I can defend, and that I know that I beg you to prove me wrong. As a matter of fact, I say this often enough to where it becomes second nature. I look forward to the day somebody can prove me wrong so that I can just pack up and spend my life in retirement with my wife as we fill sandbags and try to ensure that we can basically, you know, hold off the onslaught of evil and the changing of the guard of our government. Because if we don't stop it, if not you, then who? And if not now, then when? Because we are about to be overran. They're doing everything they can. Biden has already made the signals. I told you about this in September. He feels he has all of the power necessary. He just needed this midterm election to seize that power to come after us for the 2024 election so that they can maintain control. They're putting in these apparatuses. They know exactly what they're doing. And these people are working, you know, night and day to defeat us. And how many of you are working night and day to, you know, to stop this onslaught? Not enough. If you think that, you know, maintaining your job is important, it is. You're right. But if you think that maintaining your liberties isn't as important, then you're wrong. And you're going to learn the language of those throughout the annals of history that have basically said liberty is far more important than anything else. Because, you know, especially if you have moral principles, especially if you have any hesitation in doing evil things, because the day when they seize that power is the day when you will be compelled to either do things or you will be gotten rid of. And you're better off fighting now while you can fight, because when you become the hostage, you now are to their beck and call. And either you dance to the organ grinder or you die to, you know, based on, you know, the sword or whatever they choose to remove you with. However, and in some cases, they just incarcerate people until they die, like in China, until they have a reason to pull you out of jail to harvest your organs, and that's how you die. Maybe you'll become the organ donor future of the communist state of the world that takes over America and everything else, because that what you see happening in China is only going to proliferate. That evil is deemed good by these evil people. Evil is good and good is evil. Now, I don't even have a minute to go into the cod fishery bounties. So when we come back, I'm going to put all the other elections aside and all these other things. And let me just say this. I finally did the outline for the bill for federal review, which basically leads to republic review. So one of the things we want to help you, and I want to get this up, but I need to get it kind of edited a little bit, cleaned up, because I just did this yesterday. And so once we get that up, then there's a couple other things I need to get, and I'm going to get back to the article. Lots of things on my plate. I'm running out of time, and I need your help. I can't emphasize. We need you in the game on a constitutional campaign. Become the leader. Become the person that can actually take the first stand in your county. Take the first stand in your party and say, we need to focus on the Constitution. We can't allow these things to keep on sliding and depending on the status quo and elections of parties to actually be our solution. It is our demise. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.